The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
The Old Testament reading for Thanksgiving is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Did you hear God telling the people of Israel about everything they had to be thankful for? Did you hear Moses, speaking for God, remind them of the good land God was giving them, that they were on the very brink of entering? And so Moses, before he dies, gave them final words of exhortation and warning and proclamation as the people prepared to cross the Jordan and move into the land God was giving them. It had been 40 long years in the wilderness, 40 long years since they had left Egypt, and most of that generation had died out. So Moses was giving to them, in Deuteronomy, the second law, in Greek, Deuteronomos. The second law, the second instruction to these God's people. He reminded them of what it had been like in the wilderness, how the whole way for these 40 years the Lord their God had led them that he might humble them. And this humbling was not something demeaning or humiliating to the people. It was so they would recognize their place before God, that they were his redeemed people, that he was their God who loved them and brought them out of Egypt. God also tested them so they could know what was in their heart, whether they would keep his commandments or not. And if you're familiar with Numbers and Exodus, the people failed to keep God's commandments. Time and again, they complained about God. They complained that he wasn't giving them what they wanted. They wanted to go back to Egypt where the food was rich and plentiful, all variety of things to eat. But God humbled them. Again, so they would understand the true state of things. He let them hunger so he could fill their mouths full with manna, which they did not know, nor did their fathers know, but God miraculously provided. And there was a lesson in the provision of this manna so that they might know that human beings do not live by bread alone. And we heard in the catechism what bread alone means. It's everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body. No, human beings live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You can have an abundance of food. You can have the finest home imaginable. You can have a luxurious wardrobe. You can have a fleet of expensive automobiles. But if you have a dearth of God's word, you are poor indeed. So you and I, as redeemed of Christ, live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We live by the word made flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ, whose first advent in the flesh we will be celebrating in a few weeks, we live by God's grace and God's mercy and God's kindness. Now then Moses goes on to tell the people how God took care of them in the wilderness. There were no Walmarts, there were no Targets, there were no Dillards, but their clothing did not wear out on them, and their foot did not swell through these 40 years of trudging through the wilderness. We can assume their sandals did not wear out. God provided for them, and God kept their clothing, their sandals, new, whole, entire, just as when you die, He is going to raise you up again on the last day and make you completely and wholly new in the resurrection of the body. So know then, Moses says to the people, know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, and this doesn't mean punish, it means to instruct. As a man instructs his son, guides him in the right way, the Lord your God instructs and guides you. And he does it out of love. And because God has loved the people of Israel, Moses tells them that they shall keep the commandments of the Lord their God by walking in his ways and fearing him. And then the description of the land, the good land. It's a land of brooks of water, not like in the wilderness where they had to get water from a rock. It's a land of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills. It's a green land. It's a lush land. It's a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive trees and honey. A land in which the people would eat bread without scarcity. A land in which they would lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of hills you can dig copper. And Moses concludes tonight's Old Testament reading by telling the people, by assuring them, you shall eat and be full, you shall be satisfied, and you shall bless the Lord your God, render thanks to him for the good land that he has given you. So God had been good to the people. He had blessed them in many ways. He had brought them out of slavery in Egypt. He had protected and preserved them when their backs were up against a wall, so to speak, at the Red Sea, and it looked like the Egyptian armies were going to slaughter them. He opened the sea and made a path for the people, which then closed in upon their enemies. God gave them his instruction at Mount Sinai, and he intended it for their good. And God was bringing them into a good land. There are 10 verses that follow tonight's Old Testament reading in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. And in these 10 verses, Moses warns the people not to forget God. Not to forget the good things he had done for them when they settled in the promised land. Not to think that they had gotten all this wealth, all this abundance for themselves, but rather remember their position as slaves in Egypt. Remember how their lives seemed hopeless. Misery, drudgery, an unending toiling labor. remember the good things God had done for them. So this, in chapter 8, this plays off. Remember, don't forget. Remember the Lord your God. Don't forget the good things He has done for you. And so it is with us on the eve of Thanksgiving, the festival of taking time to reflect upon the good things God has given you and me. I'll speak for myself here. Sometimes I worry about the things I don't have or the things I'm afraid of losing. And my focus attaches itself to these theoretical, hypothetical possibilities instead of remembering the Lord my God and the good things He has done for me, how He has preserved my life and protected me and supplied me with many good gifts, how I've never gone hungry, how I've never had to spend a night out on the streets like some do. I focus on the negative things that are really only hypothetical and forget God's love and mercy and grace in Christ. And because I focus on these hypothetical negative things, sometimes I forget to give thanks. Here's a glass of water that I can wet my throat with. That's a good gift from God. Keeps me alive. Keeps you alive. Water is a reminder of our baptism into Christ Jesus, who gives us the water of life to drink. Tomorrow, you'll probably have fresh baked bread to eat and stuffing and dinner rolls and pies, daily bread. And this is a good thing. But let it remind you of this, that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He is, as he says in John chapter 6, the bread of heaven come down for the life of the world. And whoever eats this bread, whoever eats his flesh, shall live forever. So the earthly things God gives us are not to trap or snare our attention. They are good gifts, but they are to direct us to His many spiritual gifts, the eternal gifts He gives us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is that? Well, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Those are Lutheran words. Those are words from the Small Catechism. Do you remember about whoever eats and drinks receives the good things God gives? Forgiveness of sins, and along with that forgiveness come eternal life and salvation. That's what we're doing tonight in the sacrament of the altar. Another name for the sacrament is the Eucharist. It's a Greek word. Eucharisteo means to give thanks. And this sacrament is called the Eucharist because in the Greek, when it says our Lord Jesus Christ gave thanks for the bread and gave thanks over the wine, He Eucharisteo'd them. He gave thanks over them. And we can give thanks tonight for what God gives. You'll have a bountiful table you're seated at tomorrow, more than likely. But tonight we have the very bounty of God's salvation in the gift of His Son's body and blood. And as we come to the sacrament, we do so not forgetting what we are. We come acknowledging that we are sinners, just as the people of Israel were sinners. We are sinners who need God's grace, who need God's mercy, who need His forgiveness. We have a desperate need of these things. We don't forget that fact, we remember it. And neither do we come lightly to the sacrament. Because we are approaching the very table of God as we step up here. We are approaching the banquet table of the Lord, the heavenly banquet table. Heaven comes to us in the gift of Christ's body and blood. We come remembering. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus says. Remember that Christ was born of a virgin for you. Remember that Christ Jesus lived an entirely innocent and holy life in your place. Remember that he was betrayed into the hands of sinful men. Remember that he died in great agony on the cross, enduring God's condemnation in your place. Remember that he was buried. Remember that he was raised again on the third day. Remember that he ascended to the right hand of the throne of God, and now he directs all things into the universe for the good of God's people. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said, for to remember the good gifts of God, that they come from God, is to remember the Lord God himself, who makes his mercy and grace and kindness known to us daily, but never so perfectly as here this evening in the Eucharist, in the sacrament of the altar. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.